Oneida County Sheriff Rob Machel, how are you, sir?
Very good.
Good morning. Good morning. You enjoying your summer so far?
So far, it's been extremely busy, but it's going well. It's going well.
And we were just talking. You're trying to go to every town board and village or anything like
that? Yes. One of the things I wanted to do from the get-go, and we were delayed a few months just because, just learning my new job. But the past several months, I've been going around to every town. There's 26 towns. And every village, there's 19 villages. I've been making the rounds through the town and village boards in the entire county. And again, just to put a face with the name, introduce myself to the various town and village boards. Been delivering a copy of some annual reports, some of the things that the sheriff's office does, and specific data that's been compiled over the years. Again, and seeing what these communities, expect from us,
yeah,
what we can give them in return, how much we can give them. And you go to these different communities, and it's just interesting some of the issues that each of them have, and they're all legitimate. It's just that, there's so much out there. It's such a big county. I mean, there was one night, and again, they all happen. It seems like all meetings are on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
So I try to hit two or three each of the nights. But there was one night when I was, I believe it was at Riskany Falls, I was at their meeting, and then the only other one we could squeeze in that night was Remsen. And
wow.
Talk about going from
Jeez.
One end of the county
yeah,
to the other.
You ain't kidding.
But it's just an amazing, it's amazing how large our county is. But it's just, and you look at the various town and village board members, and it's like the village that I came from, and that I was the mayor of. I mean, you've got a group of caring individuals, representing their communities, trying to do the best that they can with the resources that they have. So it's important that we have a positive working relationship, with everybody. But it's been a very positive learning experience for me, just getting out there and, seeing the different communities and the needs and, the different complaints that they have that relate to what the police can help them out with. And it's all over the place as far as different issues that communities
What's
have.
What's the oddest issue that somebody's brought up
here? There's been a lot. There's been, animal complaints and traffic complaints and different needs in the communities. They want different things that we can give them. And again, it goes back to most of these communities, like townships. There's 26 towns. Only three of them have their own police agency out of the 26.
Oh, really?
So 23 of these towns rely on the sheriff's office and the state police and for their police protection. But we want to be able to deliver more, not only to be there when the call comes in, but we want to have that positive relationship, So, we've been setting up some various safety talks or child ID things. We just did one in Verona there a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the villages. There's 19 villages, but I believe there's seven that have their own police agency. So you've got 12 villages that rely solely on the sheriff's office and the state police. So it's important that we get out there and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback too. And it makes me feel good because I can deliver these positive messages back to the members of the sheriff's office that, these communities really like what they do and they like the impact that they have on their communities. So it goes both ways.
You guys are pretty busy on the waterways this season, it seems.
Waters have been real busy. Specifically, Sylvan Beach has been busy. This past weekend, 4th of July, obviously, was extremely busy, not only for the guys on the water in Sylvan Beach, but also the many people that we had assigned to the land, along with, again, our good relationship with the state police. We worked well together in Sylvan Beach. And actually, on 4th of July, I was out there for several hours with my people, and I saw firsthand what they were dealing with.
Busy out there.
There were some fights, and there was. I happened to be present right there when they made an arrest for boating while intoxicated. So it's again. There's a lot that goes on.
Yeah.
Anytime that amount of people get into an area, you need the police presence. With the relationship we have with the state police, I think they did very well. Both agencies working well together had all the areas covered, and just the traffic was intense. I mean, the Sylvan Beach Fire Department, they had their neighboring departments come together and they helped tremendously with traffic control. But it's a small community, and you bring that volume of people in.
Really,
it flowed very well. I was impressed with the plan that was put together and how well it played out.
Educate some everybody on the rules for boating and drinking and everything, because it's really just like you're driving a car, right?
Pretty much. I mean, the penalties are a little bit different, but obviously it's against the law for for people to operate, you know, a boat while being intoxicated. And, you know, as a boater myself, driving a car sometimes is difficult enough, but, you know, yeah. maneuvering a boat, especially, you know, in an area where there is so much activity, such as, you know, a place like the beach or any of the lakes, you can't consume alcohol and try to operate a vessel. It's just, yeah. it's just not safe. And, you know, but I think what people need to really do is educate themselves on the laws, because there are laws out on the waterways. You know, people are required to, depending on their age and what type of vessel they're operating, they are required to go through boater safety classes in many cases. And, you know, actually this year, my oldest, which makes me feel old, my oldest child went through the boater safety course in just early in the spring here, because, you know, she wants the opportunity to operate our boat from time to time. But again, you know, with that volume of people in one place, safety is such an important thing, you know, and the life vests and all the safety equipment that's required. And because it's, you know, when something happens out on the water, it's not like you can step out of the boat and walk away.
Right. I mean, yeah.
You're out in the middle of the water. So I think it's important that people really, focus in on making sure their vessel's safe, making sure they got the equipment they need, and most importantly, don't drink and operate that boat. I mean, like I said, the one arrest that I was there for was, it was clearly a situation where the person shouldn't have been operating that vessel. It's just not safe. But, you know, and it's interesting, I spent my 4th of July there, and, you know, with my people and giving them the support that they need and whatnot. And that was important for me. I mean, I turned down several invitations to be in parades that day, but knowing the volume of people and knowing the issues that they were going to be facing at, you know, at the event out on the beach, with a clear conscience, mm-hmm. how could I go walk in a parade while my people yeah. are you know, really giving it everything they got to keep that community safe and in control? So, but it was good for me to be out there to see how much they do and to see how important they are. And again, you know, interacting with the public, they're just glad that, you know, we're on the water, we're on the roads, you know, because it's important. You need the presence of law enforcement. It's just it's something that's got to be.
Oneida County Sheriff Rob Machel in the studio, and you guys are gearing up to do your big proposal to the to Whitestown,
Yorkville.
Yorkville.
Yes. The mayor of Yorkville contacted us recently with some dates. We've got our schedules intact, and we are set for Monday, August 8th at 7 o'clock in the Yorkville Municipal Building. And again, I want to stress to people, because there's still a few out there that
I was going to say, how's the feedback? Are you guys getting a lot of?
Well, there's been feedback, but, you know, again, some people. And the only thing I ask is to just, you know, when I do get the opportunity to present everything, just give me a few minutes to save to do my thing.
Get this guy out of here.
Because bottom line is, like I said before, and I've said it again and again and again, and I said it way back even before I was a sheriff, it is not my job to come in and take over communities.
Right.
The community, but if a community comes to me and asks me for a proposal, absolutely I'm going to provide one. And that's what happened here. The Yorkville Village governing body asked me for a proposal to provide them with 24/7 police coverage, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's going to be a detailed PowerPoint presentation, exactly what we're going to offer to them for the amount of money that it's going to take to give them an enhanced police protection 24/7. And it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do our PowerPoint. We'll take their questions. And the bottom line is, the decision is not Rob Machel's. The decision is Yorkville.
Right, yeah.
The
article in today's OD, it's Sheriff to discuss proposed Yorkville police takeover. It makes it sound so hostile.
Exactly.
Doesn't it? It's like, oh, my God, they're going to take it over.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, and I've been following the whole police issue. I mean, I've been a policeman for 22 years. All of my career up until this January was in the town of Whitestown area.
Yeah.
I worked for the New York Mills Police Department. I worked for the town of Whitestown Police Department. And most of my career was in the village of Whitesboro Police Department. So I know the area. I know the needs of the people. I know the needs of the community. I know the element that they're dealing with when it comes to criminal activity. And in this role, I now know what the sheriff can offer them. But again, that's Yorkville's decision. I mean, it is what it is. But I've said it on this show. I've said it just about everywhere. I can offer them an enhanced service for much less cost than what they're paying for. That's the summary. But again, that's their decision.
Right. Yeah.
Whether you know that it happens or not, you know, I'm still moving forward with all of my obligations and commitments and everything. But we have a big operation. I mean, just yesterday, we between some new hires and promotions, promoted or hired 24 people yesterday.
Yeah, that's big.
It didn't occur yesterday. It's occurred over the past several weeks. But we brought them all together. We made some promotions, and I went through all the new hires. So it's a big operation. There's 432 or 436 some odd people that work there, very dedicated men and women that make our county safe, that keep our jail secure. And like I said, it's the people around me that helped this place that make the place.
How did the Rome Jail closing affect you?
We really don't know. My initial concern was answered right away. We get our food from that we serve in our kitchen. We get our food from the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's cooked chill. It's basically a prepared meal that just has to be warmed up. And our people and our kitchen staff. It's their job to warm the meals, make sure the right meals are going to the right inmates. And then separately, we provide the vegetables, the fruits, the bread, and the drink. But our meals come through at a very reasonable price, extremely reasonable. We can't get them cheaper anywhere else.
Yeah.
And those meals are prepared at that facility that's closing. But that's one part of that operation that's not going to be affected. So that doesn't affect us at all. So my initial concern was what happens to Cook Joe. And that's not affected by the change. My other concern, and I know I've mentioned it before, the 60-some county jails throughout New York State, once a person is convicted to state time and they're in a county jail, they get classified as being state ready. They're ready to go to a state facility to serve out their term. And if the state takes them off the county's hands in a reasonable amount of time, well, sometimes they're reasonable and our reasonable isn't.
Yeah.
There's not a specific time when they have to take them from us. And when they become state-ready inmates, that's at county taxpayers' expense, and we don't get reimbursed from the state. So every day that they're there, it's costing money to have them there.
Really?
And our concern is, if they close too many prisons around the state, and each of these county jails have, whether it's 10 or 15 or 20 state readies at any given time, are there going to be beds for them to go to? We're being told that, yes, there will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I just wouldn't want to see a prison closure have a negative effect on a county, because we're going to end up getting stuck with these state ready inmates for long periods of time. But we're being told that that's not going to be the case, and I certainly hope so. But on a bigger picture, there's 500 some people that, are either going to be displaced or be without jobs or have to leave the area. I just talked to someone the other day, and he's been on for 14 or 15 years, and it's up in the air. I mean, he may have to drive out to Rochester, not every day, but he may commute and just come home on his days off or something. And that's upsetting. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine having to go, travel, 2 hours to go to work every day back. And so, actually, I got a Facebook message from one of my friends that work over there, and we're going to have some of those guys on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some of it tomorrow from over in the Rome Jail. Yeah. So stay tuned tomorrow, and we'll bring you that. But all in all, it's summer.
It's going well. It's very busy.
Moving. Yeah.
The agency certainly has been challenged with some things, and obviously the recent death of one of our people in the line of duty was tragic, and never in my wildest dreams I ever think we'd be dealing with a situation like that. Just a very unfortunate thing, and just a superb young individual who is no longer with us.
Yeah.
And that's just such a tragedy, everyone's doing well, we've still got a lot of work to do, and each and every day things are happening.
Oneida County Sheriff Rob Machel, thank you for coming in.
Anytime.
Appreciate
it. Anytime.